Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hi, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Krecha, and I will be your host today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism and Scouting program. Now, this program is brought to you by Autism Empowerment, the nonprofit organization. To get more information both about Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting program, after the broadcast, please go ahead and visit www.autismempowerment.org. You can join us there on Facebook, Twitter, and a variety of other social media outlets. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any previous broadcasts, an archive or podcast, you can get that information there as well. And also, you can also listen, click on to get information about listening on iTunes as well. First of all, I thank our last guest that we had on Wednesday, Karen Mansfield from Troop 5280. It's a special needs troop based out of Denver, Colorado, and it's a transitional troop. They basically take scouts and give them some basic information on for a year or two, and then try to transition them into a traditional unit. It was a really amazing show, and Karen actually will be back on the show on Wednesday, the 26th, to talk about advancement with special needs kids. If you didn't hear it, you can find the information and listen to it on blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. Today we're going to change it up again, yet again. We're trying a new format here at Autism and Scouting Radio, which you hope you'll like. We're trying to do different things. Today we have our first panel discussion. We are going to go all the way out to Missouri, and we're going to talk to the leadership of Troop 2. We're going to be talking to Teddy Hinton, the Scoutmaster for Special Needs Troop 2. He has over 23 years of scouting underneath his belt. He's an Eagle Scout. He's earned a number of different awards. Very, very active within the unit, and from what I understand, just loves the kids immensely. We'll also be joined by Scott Pope, the committee chair of the Special Needs Troop 2. He has over 10 years of scouting, again, tons of awards. He's also, I believe, the trainer and the ISAP, which is the Individual Scout Achievement Plan Processor. Scout holds a number of awards, and from what I understand, he really likes to bring his music on the troop outings as well. And the third person we're going to have is Cindy Pope. She's currently the advancement chair for Troop 2, also a number of awards, been very active in the special needs community, and from what I understand, also is very, very active and loves the hands-on working with the kids one-on-one. So why don't we go ahead and bring them all on board. Welcome, panel.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi there.
So we have Teddy. Hi, Teddy.
Hello, John. Good to talk to you today.
Excellent. And Scott, are you there?
Yes, thanks for having us.
And Cindy, right?
Hi, John.
First of all, what I want to find out is usually when I bring scouters on, is why special needs? Because there's so many different areas of special interest. You know, the big push now is for STEM, which is the science, technology, engineering, and math. Some scouters are really super into hiking. Some are really super into camping. If I could get each one of you, why special needs? What's your driving force for why you kind of went to support scouts with special needs?
Well, primarily our son, James. We started him in Cub Scouts, and then as he progressed, we got an Asperger's diagnosis for him. And so when he crossed over, because of the Asperger's, sometimes the focus issues in a traditional setting were not helping him with his advancement. So we wondered what to do about that. And then we met Teddy when he came to a round table and stood up and said he wanted to charter a special needs troop. He'll tell you more about his motivation, but we were there, we stood up and said, let's do it. And Teddy can tell you his motivation for his inspiration.
John, some 30 years ago, as a 14 or 15-year-old Life Scout, I was challenged to make a promise to run a really epic Boy Scout unit someday when I was an old man. And here I find myself an old man. I didn't expect that that epic Boy Scout troop would be a special needs troop. I thought it would be a high adventure, platform building, canoeing, sailboating, you know, type of unit. But about 5 years ago, my sister's two sons were both diagnosed with Fragile X syndrome, a genetic cause of fairly significant autism. And I recall a New Year's Eve sitting in her kitchen floor with her bawling her eyes out to me, you know, ruining the fact that her boys would not have the same scouting experience that me, her brother, and our father had together. And I took that as my cue and decided that I guess the type of troop that I was going to start and run and make my legacy would be epic in its ability to serve the special needs scouts. So that's essentially how I got started.
My oldest, who has Asperger's, he always comes home and says, that's epic. So I totally get that. I totally understand that terminology and how that's kind of very, very exciting, you know, wanting to make something exciting. So when you stood up at the round table, how was that greeted when, besides for Scott, how was that greeted with by the other scout leaders?
Well, I'll tell you, John, you know, I had a very simple message to offer at that round table because I had made the decision and done about a year's worth of prep work and research and behind-the-scenes planning and prep to get the troop started. And upon making that announcement at roundtable was basically the final step before starting to pull the triggers and check the boxes and make things happen. So I didn't necessarily have a please everybody come and help me type of message. It was a little more informational. It was, here is what is going to happen. Here is what I am going to do, and if anybody is interested, please come and see me to join in. And that, the reason I was able to approach it that way is because very early in the process, I was able to discover what a daunting task this would be, and pretty quickly made the decision to recognize that this was not something that I was building, but it's a God thing. In a way, it's a ministry for me, and I just put everything in, you know, in the man upstairs' hands and recognize that daily I just do the work that is mine to do. So when I stood up and said that at roundtable, frankly, 95% of the faces in the room had a blank stare on them. In other words, you know, saying, don't even know what you're talking about, don't know what you mean. But there were a few, I could see a few sets of eyes, a few faces where the light was on, and pretty quickly had a half dozen people or so approach me, you know, the Popes immediately, and thank God for them. They've been fundamental, probably more so than I have been, to the functionality of this troop.
I totally get the fact that about the ministry or the calling. That's kind of how, honestly, how autism in scouting started. I was at summer camp in 2010. It was my oldest had just crossed over from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts, his first overnight. And I was seeing at that camp how kids were being treated. And it just was, I was laying in the rack one night and just was like it was a total inspiration, like something needed to be done. And so I totally get that concept of having a bigger calling than just yourself. So that's just amazing. So talk to me about how it all kind of came together. You said you spent about a year in planning.
I don't want to capitalize the whole call.
I understand.
I'm going to speak for Scott and Cindy for just a second. I spent about a year going around and interviewing and visiting every single professional I could find in our local area who is affiliated in any way with special needs children, from the champion athletes and Special Olympics and the Arc of the Ozarks and the special needs teachers and everybody under the sun I could find, and got lots of good, solid advice about what to do and what not to do. But I recognized what some of my limitations were. You know, I'm just an old muddy boots, camping, fire building Boy Scout. I'm not that much of a administrator or paperwork expert. And I can tell you that the gaps that were there in my entire year of planning were perfectly filled like puzzle pieces from Scott and Cindy. Cindy is absolutely blessed with the ability to manage, you know, reams and reams of paperwork, and she does a great job at it. And Scott has an incredible legal mind that helps us draft sets of rules and bylaws. And so the three of us really, I know they had done lots of prep work as well, and our prep work really seemed to match each other and fill each other's gaps. So I'll shut up for a minute and let you guys know.
What we did after we decided to have the troop was we called the newspaper, and we got a sympathetic ear. And over Labor Day weekend, almost 3 years ago now, we got a full-page spread in the regional newspaper over starting our troop. And we had parent meetings each Tuesday in September into October. We had positive response. We managed to get the commitment of the minimum number of people, 5, required to start a troop, 5 scouts, and we just jumped off the deep end and went for it. We didn't know what we would do. It's kind of like building the Empire State Building. We didn't know how we were going to get lunch up to the 47th floor. We'd have to figure that out as we went along. And we do that. We figure it out as we go along.
Now, as far as how many boys are currently in the program?
We currently have 16 boys. And of the 16, 8 of them have some form of autism.
And as far as advancement goes, how... is it very, traditional as far as does each boy have an an individual scout advancement plan, or is it kind of tailored if they need one, they have one, or how does that all work?
Well, like any scout troop should, we start with the book. We read through the book. We explain, help with the boys. At this point, with my son being Life Scout, he is troop guide to help the younger scouts, and we try to do everything we can to work with the book. Then, if a scout just hits a brick wall, we brainstorm some ideas, and we call, this is most important, we call our district advancement chair and get him in the loop so district works with us to help this boy achieve what he can achieve.
And allow me to interject here very quickly. Our district and our council are both very much behind us, but at the same time, they're very much treading new ground for them. Where the BSA guidelines, in many cases, instruct us to contact and look for counsel from district and council, frankly, it ends up being the other way around often. They are sort of recognizing that we know the answers, and looking to us for those, and Cindy is able to basically call and tell them what we need to do, and they sort of just sign off on that. But that's through recognition of how strongly our program has gotten off the ground. They recognize us as an asset, and that's much in part to how closely Cindy has communicated with them on every single issue.
In your particular district and your council, are you the only special needs unit in your council?
Yes, and so they work with us as much as we work with them. if I remember correctly, for example, if a boy has a circumstance where a rank advancement needs to be addressed or an element or a line item, we can work with that. But if it has to do with a merit badge, we can't change that, so we have to find, with approval of district and council, a complete substitute merit badge. Let me give you an example of a rank advancement requirement. Everybody knows in Tenderfoot the physical ed. For example, do so many pull-ups 30 days later, work out some, and see if you do more. And if you have, you've improved, you've checked off that line item. We have boys in wheelchairs. They're obviously not going to do pull-ups. But
right.
If we can rig a pulley and bar system where they pull up a weight and then they work out as best they can, and then at the end of 30 days they're pulling more weight, they've accomplished the same goal, they've exercised the same muscles, and they have, in the spirit of the advancement, worked on and accomplished that line item, and our district and council accept that. There are other things, like it's even in the scout book for like the 5 mile hike. That can be a 5 mile walk, that can be a 5 mile wheelchair push, that can be a 5 mile car drive, as long as there's someone there to help them be aware and be attentive to what's out there so that they can accomplish the spirit of the 5 mile hike, which is not just cover the distance, but experience, you know, nature and the outdoors and the things that you see along the way. The trip is as much the experience as just simply getting the ground covered.
Right. Recently, on one of our, actually on our Autism Scouting Facebook page, a mom had written about her frustration because her son is a tenderfoot and he cannot swim. I mean, she's done multiple years of lessons and whatnot, and obviously for second class and first class, there's definitely swimming requirements. Now, how would you work with that? I mean, would you use an adaptation or would you use an accommodation?
This is Teddy again, and here we are on the actual implementation of an activity, and that's, I think, where probably my biggest skill comes in. I'm just a big kid. Matter of fact, years ago, I was described as the oldest senior patrol leader in the entire scouting movement, and that pretty well is. I will tell you that when it comes to something like swimming, I'll give you a direct example. We have a young man who was paralyzed in a surgery. He was already in pretty rough shape prior to the surgery, but it further paralyzed him, and he only has the significant use of one arm. Both legs are atrophied, and his other arm is very limited use, so he certainly can't swim. But he did complete the VSA swim course with the aid of a flotation device and his patrol. And I want to emphasize that very clearly. He couldn't get it done, but they as a patrol got it done. His patrol got in the water with him and helped him, pushed him, pulled him, dragged him along, and they did their swimming course. And don't think for a second that wasn't as nerve-wracking as it could be for the adult in the water with him, but...
And all the adults on shore ready to jump in.
Scouting movement is for the boys to achieve, both individually and through the patrol method. And in this case, a boy in that condition jumping in the water and being able to swim 50 yards, it's just not going to happen, physically unable to do so. But rather than try to go through a bunch of gymnastics of trying to figure out other ways to get that rank advancement in place, we tend to prefer to err on the side of the boy feeling like he did the actual requirement by altering slightly how we get to the finish line, if you will. And I'll give you another example. Tie a square knot. Pretty simple, fundamental requirement. We have one boy in the troop who has virtually no fine motor dexterity. Really cannot button his own buttons. Can't tie his own shoes. To be able to tie a rope was virtually not going to be possible. So we managed to procure some big 1.5-inch rope, about a 20-foot section of it, and he and I laid on our stomachs on the gymnasium floor and slowly but surely moved those pieces of rope, though it was not fine motor dexterity, it was macro motor dexterity, and got a square knot put together on the floor of the gymnasium, although it never did really get pulled tight, either, mind you, and I was willing as a scoutmaster to sign that off.
Right, because the intent was there. The effort, as much effort was probably put into that as any other scout just learning to do a square knot.
You hit the nail on the head. Comparing that kid's sense of accomplishment versus my personal 11-year-old sense of accomplishment at tying a square knot back in 1971 or whatever incarnation that was, he definitely had the high spot on the podium. He had achieved much more than I did.
Actually, that brings me into another area, because I love hearing stories like that, because those are really the stories that motivate a lot of people to go out and say, we can do this for our scouts. A lot of times, Eagle is looked at as the highest achievement in scouting, which is an incredible achievement in and of itself. But a lot of times, just simple things like what you're explaining are just of equal achievement as that, as attending Eagle Scout. For each of you, what have you seen? What was your biggest accomplishment that you've seen a boy achieve in your unit?
Well, I'm sitting here, and Cindy is deferring to me. We had a boy, one of our original members, who unfortunately with some other family issues isn't with the troop right now. But when we first met him, he was in a full-blown, regressive autism episode in the fetal position on the floor with the repetition of the phrase, the fixation, absolutely oblivious to everything around him. Within a year, we had him as an integral person of doing flag ceremonies, holding the flag, marching at the proper cadence, you know, posting in a line in the proper sequence with state, with federal, you know, U.S. flag, state flag, local flag, etc., scout troop flag, and interacting with the boys as if he were, you know, one of us forever.
And what about the other two?
Well, allow me to address this from the big picture point of view. I mean, there are so many little accomplishments that certainly I lose track of them. I mean, I cannot tell you how, I probably don't have to tell you, John, how much of a blessing it is to me to have the opportunity to see the light come on in these little guys' eyes on a, you know, on a daily basis, every meeting, some little minor accomplishment that we don't even recognize how big it is to them. Maybe as simple as just being able to stand still for a whole minute straight. That can be
or even getting to the meeting itself.
Yeah, absolutely. That can be a fundamental thing. Or being able to show off their Special Olympics medal that they won 3 days ago, you know, during the closing ceremony, and be able to actually say what he's wearing around his neck, and to look everybody in the eyes and put five sentences together in a string in a social situation that is very uncomfortable. So we have those happen all the time. But from the big picture point of view, Eagle, we'll have Eagle Scouts in our troop. Matter of fact, the Pope's son is very much well on his way towards that rank. But I will tell you that for years, even prior to starting this troop, I was trained and taught as a boy that Eagle is great. Go for it. Try to reach it. But really, the skill of scouting is evidenced in the first five ranks up through first class. That by the time a boy has earned first class, he has learned, and this is a quote from my old scoutmaster, he has learned everything there is to learn in scouts. And the rank advancements beyond that is where he begins to teach it to others. And I will tell you that as the scoutmaster for this unit, it is my goal for every boy to have, you know, the utmost opportunity to learn everything they can learn. If they are so endowed with the skills to then teach it, so be it. I will need those teachers. But not every boy in a special needs unit is going to have the ability to teach and earn that star life in Eagle. So from my point of view as the scoutmaster, I am mostly focused on the skills that exist between Arrow of Light and First Class. And every single one of those rank requirements is a home run for the boys of Troop 2, period. And even if they don't earn rank requirements on a fairly regular basis, they are, by design, earning patches and awards and pins and beads and all kinds of recognition at every single court of honor, thanks in large part to Cindy and the work she does. But we offer physical, tangible awards to these boys for virtually every single activity that they could do. We're not going to hold that recognition away until they have completed all 350 bajillion requirements for second class. We're going to award one.
I totally get that. What we do with our boys, if they come to a meeting, they get a bead if they come in their uniform. If they're paying attention through the whole meeting, they get another bead. So it's like the instant recognition of rewards.
Absolutely, yes. Recognition at the time is most important. So in addition to the actual formal scout requirements and the formal merit badge, we do things like make up patches as we go along sometimes, like for scouting in extreme weather. We have the Compass Awards just so that they've got something to do and earn when they can't earn anything else. And we try to keep them self-motivated that way. And
we focus a lot on service hours in the community. And for every 5 service hours, they get a patch. And recently, my son just reached 100 service hours. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, there are several others that really aren't that far behind them. So it's been wonderful to see them light up when they go out there and they see that they're of value to the community.
And John, Thrive.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. We have about 3 minutes left. This went just way too fast. I want to say one quick thing, and then I'm going to give each of the like a minute or so to say whatever you want. I just want to personally thank each one of you for everything that you're doing out there, working with the boys. It's so amazing what you're doing. We want to be able to spread what you're doing to other parts of the country and be able to replicate what you're doing and, you know, bring this to units to be able to have other scouts being successful. So thank you very much for everything that you do. And, again, you each have about a minute to say something.
Well, I would start by saying that in the final analysis, they are still Boy Scouts with an emphasis on the boy. You get them out there, you give them an opportunity, and they will grow as boys into the ethical men we're trying to make all scouts into.
And that is exactly what I was going to close with, so I'll just embellish on that a little bit and leave you with this thought. We as adults, and especially those of us who went through a Boy Scout program as a youth, have this big glorious picture of what a successful Boy Scout experience is supposed to be. But these boys, in their special needs circumstances, at their wise old age of 11 or 12, have no idea what this is supposed to look like. And they have no idea what, shall we say, limitation they're operating under unless we tell them. So we don't. We praise them for the little things that they accomplish, and we don't tell them that they are little things. And they don't. And often we don't camp with other scout troops at jamborees and camporees because the boys of Troop 2 don't have a real realization of what limitations they are operating under. And his example is, the boys of Troop 2 actually believe they're a boy-led troop. And we let them boy lead as much as possible. But, you know, that's really significantly difficult for boys with special needs and autism. But they don't know that. And that's a key, and I want to leave everybody with that. The boys of your units will know only what you clue them into. And if you don't tell them that they're only hitting singles or achieving walks, they will think they're hitting home runs all the time. So let them believe they are hitting home runs. Thanks for having me on the show, John.
Thank you. Cindy, any final words or any final thoughts?
Well, the main thing that I try to focus on with the boys is that, again, personal achievement. It does them the most service to help them grow their self-confidence and their self-esteem. That's what I'll leave it with.
Well, hopefully we can have you back because I really think this was a really good experience. And I really, again, thank you guys for everything that you're doing out there. I'd love to have you come back on and we can chat some more. This 30 minutes goes really way too quickly a lot of times. So I'd love to have you come back on if you're willing.
Thank you, John.
Sounds great.
Thank you. I'd be happy to.
Thank you, and want to close the show by thanking everyone out there. And, again, if you want to listen to this, you can listen to it on iTunes or on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you very much, and have a great show. Great day.